Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 18, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora: how will the threat of the coronavirus have a major impact on the worldwide economy as it spreads across the globe? The economy needs a major impact because it has been failing to provide for our needs. Instead, we have been providing for the economy's needs. The coronavirus pandemic has illuminated the question about what is essential and non-essential in life. In the face of crisis, life's essentials, food, housing, healthcare and education, were extracted from the dark alleyway we had them in before the virus struck us, while we focused the spotlight on growth, production, consumption and trade surplus or deficit. The coronavirus then came along and reminded us about what is essential in life. During this period, we have a chance to revise the way our lives are headed, and in the process, upgrade our economy to make it suit our needs. The irony of our era is that the modern workforce works more hours than slaves did in the past. Today, we think that we have more freedom and security than the slaves of the past. But the coronavirus highlighted that, in a moment, our entire infrastructure can overturn. A period of social distancing and stay-at-home conditions put the housing and even food that many take for granted into question. Today's office jobs, which provided many with a sense of security, showed themselves to fall short when it came to providing many people with the safety net that they envisioned. While we still try to recover from this blow that the coronavirus struck on the economy, we have some time to revise the idea of work in general. As we head into a future where technology is expected to replace much of the workforce, and we will discover that we need not work all the hours we currently work in order to provide for what we need in life, then we can expect that governmental allowances, such as universal basic income, will become the way most people will receive their income. Job titles will lose their value as markers of social status. In order for society to not stagnate and grow in an age where our job titles cease to mark our value in society, we will need to mark social status according to the contribution we make to society. Such a change would be possible if we provide basic income in exchange for participating in programs that let people develop and express their contribution to society. In other words, the economy we are headed toward, and which the coronavirus period has hinted at, is one where we will need our life's essentials covered, and one where we will shift our focus to strengthen and grow human society, social happiness, health and well-being, instead of each of us trying to build our personal empires. In such an economy, we will place much higher importance on cultivating positive human relations than we do today. As more and more of today's professions will show themselves to be unnecessary for the world we're headed toward, we will need to replace all the effort we place into educating and training ourselves into such professions, with education and training of a different kind, one where we will train ourselves to relate positively to each other and contribute to others above our growing divisive drives. The virus will reconfigure us. Question: how should regular people who have lost their livelihoods behave? Should they work on connection or search for a new job? Answer: they should never break ties with the group if they have one. If not, then it is best to explain to them that such connections are beneficial for them and will bring solutions to their problems. People who feel that they can soon return to their regular jobs have to still check themselves. To do so, we have to explain to them which actions of men are beneficial and will provoke a positive result from nature. But if they bring harm to nature or its integral quality, this will not work. Such occupations and businesses will not be restored. I think that many months later, after the virus, we will be completely different people. We will stop rushing about, flying from one end of the world to another as if we're missing something. Of course, it is interesting to see new places, but what's the point? Each of us has flown all over the world. And what qualitative contribution have we made to ourselves, others, or the future? Absolutely nothing. just the opposite. So let's sum up our attitude toward the world and relate to life differently. In accordance with this, we will see that after the coronavirus has passed through us, many professions will disappear. People will work only for the sake of the tangible benefit, earn as much as is needed to support themselves and their families, and will draw satisfaction from forming a deeper connection with nature. The coronavirus is not really a virus but a program that penetrates us. For some people, it enters them on the animate level and kills them. For others, it enters and reprograms them to have a whole new sensory perception. But most of us will not feel this sensory reprogramming. It will be just a natural breathing through the nose and feeling its effects. Once it enters us, it begins to reconfigure us, making us think, consider, and evaluate ourselves and others in a whole new way. The world will become different. Give the coronavirus another few months and you will see. Perhaps we will be unable to compare ourselves to the way we were in February, March, or April, but we will have a totally different approach to the way we deal with things in this world. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, April 5, 2020. Who benefits from the coronavirus? Question: can the coronavirus be beneficial for anyone? Answer: of course, for nature. Question: why? Answer: because it must necessarily correct us and bring us to a perfect state. We are its only offspring that are butchering, damaging, breaking, and causing harm to ourselves and nature. Therefore, the protective reaction of nature is expressed in this form. From CAB TV's Meetings with Kabbalah, Victoria Bonia, March 29, 2020. Michael Leitman, on Quora: what did the world learn from the coronavirus pandemic? The world is still learning from the coronavirus pandemic a hard lesson in how much we all depend on each other. It has shown us how much our health depends on other people maintaining personal hygiene and social distancing conditions. It has also shown us how much we need and miss each other when we are faced with prolonged stay-at-home conditions, and how our economy is ill-equipped to deal with such a situation. Many people find themselves out of work, out of business, and see no future in sight, on one hand, and on the other hand, a financial elite that continues profiting in the billions at the expense of such people. I hope that the world will continue learning from this pandemic, as I think there are many more takeaways that society has yet to realize. For instance, we would be wise to learn that our definition of success is in dire need of revision. Instead of equating wealth to success, as we have done until today, we will need to start equating positive contribution to society with success. We can see some signs of such a motion during the pandemic in the praise that healthcare workers receive for their efforts to help the often unmanageable amount of coronavirus cases. However, we need to further internalize this redefinition of success, as our social connections, life engagements, work and social values all stem from it. There is nothing successful in being individually successful and wealthy at the expense of others. Success lies in creating a positively connected society, where its members take responsibility and care for each other, contribute to each other's well-being, and promote to each other the need for centering everyone's focus on benefiting others instead of benefiting our individual selves. The world is learning about the need to be more considerate of everyone, as we all depend on each other. However, I think that an extra push on our behalf to further implant this understanding will serve to better balance us with the tighter interdependence and interconnectedness that the coronavirus era has revealed to us. Seeds of Exile, Part 2. War is an expression of egoism. Remark: during the 6,000 years of the existence of civilized humanity on Earth, wars have been constantly waged. In total, they've only been gone for 200 years. Historians distinguish five main wars, the First and Second World Wars, and three more wars in China, during which hundreds of millions of people died. My comment: this is an amazing state of the world when people simply annihilate each other. They give free rein to their egoism, which cannot tolerate others, and come up with all sorts of reasons to kill. Remark: war is like an expression of egoism. Every story is a story of war. My comment: on the other hand, we do not even imagine what would happen to the world if war had not been waged. Over the past 70 years, there have been no wars on such vast continents as Europe and Asia, and look what happened to humanity. The world's population has grown from 2 million to 8. We see that with uncorrected egoism, wars become necessary, because only in this way humanity restrains and purifies itself. From CapTV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 8, 2019. $1 or $1,000? Comment: your teacher Abesh would give the following example about faith above reason. A friend borrowed a $1,000 from you and then returned an envelope with a single dollar. Upon seeing this, you must supplement with faith that the full amount is there. My response: if you open the envelope and see that he gave you $1, then this is faith within reason. If you check and find $1 there, but consider it as $1,000, this is faith above reason. If you do not check at all, trusting his word that the full amount is there, then it is faith below reason. A person is told something, he lives his life believing it, prays, does what he has been taught. This is called performing commandments out of habit. Question: can those with faith within reason be called atheists? Answer: yes. For them, the whole world is based on knowledge. They take nothing in faith. Question: so, Kabbalah is distinct because you can research and verify everything. But first, must you accept it as an axiom? Answer: you check it for yourself so that you rise higher despite your knowledge. Thus, you are connected to the next, higher degree. Question: is knowledge necessary in Kabbalah? In the old days before studying Kabbalah, people had to study the seven sciences. Answer: this was necessary before because layers of the soul from past centuries, past generations, would get corrected this way. In our times, this is no longer necessary. Comment: we see how much Balhasulam wrote about his studying philosophy and psychology. My response: naturally, because the whole of creation, which is the desire to enjoy, had to be fully realized. To do so, it was necessary to relate in various ways to your desire, the matter of creation. There was even a period when, in order to rise above matter, you had to torture yourself, sleep on the ground, eat the simplest food, dress in rags, etc. In general, Kabbalists have gone through different periods in the ways of understanding the upper world, the correction of desires. From CabTV's Foundations of Kabbalah, April 1, 2019. Connect the shards of the general soul. Question: explaining the topic of the shattering of the vessels, you said that we need to unite with the upper world and connect all the pieces. When you say we, do you mean all of humanity or just the part that was free from unclean desires, shells? Does the process of correction mean the coming of the Messiah? Answer: reconstruction of the shattered vessel takes place gradually in each of us and in all of us together. We help each other assemble the shattered general desire. Before the shattering, it was a totally altruistic desire and it operated only in love and bestowal. Then the general desire was shattered into small egoistic pieces, and there is a shattered piece of the general desire in each and every one of us. We exist in this form today. The only purpose of the wisdom of Kabbalah is to explain to us how to unite into one general whole. We live in a generation that is starting this work. All the Kabbalists before us only prepared the wisdom of Kabbalah for its implementation and made preliminary corrections. We are the first generation to start the process of connecting the shattered shards into a vessel, a soul, a desire, whatever we call it. This action is fulfilled by our mutual efforts in groups, with the help of the upper light that we draw by our desires and our intentions. The light that comes seemingly pulls us out of our ego and connects us to each other into one desire. This is the reason that this light is called the Messiah, which stems from the Hebrew word moshch to pull, meaning to pull us out of our egoism. Kabbalistic terms may seem mysterious to us, but they actually explain the meaning of actual actions in a very practical manner. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 2, 2020. New Life 1222. The Corona Conspirator.
Shalom lachem.
Hello, good for joining us here. We're here with New Life, a series of conversations with Dr. Michael Lightman, Kabbalist. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello. We're in program 1222, the Corona times. We're in different studios. Join us. There are many fascinating questions, and I'm sure his answers will do a little order in our heads and order in our lives. Look, Rav Lightman, lately, since the Corona virus blow is taking on and conquering country after country, and has basically covered the whole globe and changed our lives, there's a lot of talk about the fact that it's actually not so simple as it appears. What does it mean? That there's a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy. There's all kinds of conspiracy theories. There are those who say that leaders, these and those leaders, want to take over the world, and so they organize this plague. There are other theories who say, no, it's not the leaders, it's people with power, with force in the world that want to get richer at our expense. They arrange this whole conspiracy. There's an additional conspiracy theory that says, no, it's a ramification of the advanced technology, mostly the cellular and antennas and satellites, our advancement to the fifth generation of the cellular is bringing us, just like they invented the radios and radars, we received a biological response upon us. And I don't want to fill you with all these conspiracy theories. I tried to divide them to the major ones. Now my question is as such. Every time I read or hear or see some clip on the social media about some conspiracy theory, it starts with me saying nonsense. But if I have patience to listen to the end, a minute or two, I say, whoa, they're talking logically. They're bringing proof. And each time it's like it spins your head and you don't know who to believe already. Maybe everything is one big conspiracy, and maybe what I'm seeing now is a conspiracy. How do you see all these conspiracy theories that have to do with the coronavirus? Meaning, what conspiracy theory that I have that I'm selling? That's what you're asking me. What do I have to sell? Could be that we could also look at it that way. But before you selling me something of yours, some conspiracy, I would like to hear from you in general, from the side. What do you think in general about the whole tendency of a person in times of distress to be filled with conspiracy theories of different kinds? Where does that come from us? Where does it come to us? It repeats itself. Every time there's some bad thing that happens in life, we have these theories that pop up. Why are we built this way? Because we don't know where we live, first of all. We don't know where we're living, why we're living, what we're living for, what's good for us and what not. We don't know. We're confused like little children that were put into some open store, and then they play there with all kinds of things and are running around and clashing against things, and why and for what this whole store exists. They don't know. According to what rules, they also don't know. And this is how we are in this whole world. So certainly if something happens to us, something significant, extraordinary. And then we start looking and think, what happened? Who did this? Who's it worthwhile for? And we start to search for who's to blame. And that's usually how it happens here in our world. So the question is like this. Really, when something like this coronavirus comes, what is it doing? It wants to silence the whole world? Who could that benefit? I don't know. I don't think that it could be good for the rulers. I don't think that it could be good for the rich. Because they always want even more and even more to get richer. And so on. I don't know. If you ask me, I'm not going to go and think in that direction at all. Let's say one theory says that the conspiracy is that rich people, I don't want to say their names, because they're developing the medicine for corona, it's worthwhile for them for this epidemic to spread, and then they'll be able to sell their medicine to everyone and get even richer. One of the theories. But there won't be who to sell it to. Because people will stay, will remain without money. I don't see that. Well, it doesn't matter. These are like speculations that there are many of. So what's your attitude towards all the speculations altogether? I don't think that that's a result of people. I think it's a result of an imbalance in nature that human beings have brought forth without their knowledge. Meaning, I didn't understand the last sentence, the emphasis that you gave. Meaning that people caused this. But it's not that they did this on purpose. Not on purpose, meaning there's no conspiracy here behind these things. No. It's like a volcano erupts, or a tsunami, a hurricane, which we may have caused indirectly. But it's not that we did it on purpose. Do you think that people who are all together, they're people, they're human beings, they're not God, they're not anything like that. Could it be, no matter how rich they are, however control they have, can they change the fate of humanity? No. According to my theory, no. Why not? Because according to my theory, nature itself is the general force, and it itself includes within it all those forces, those individual forces, and itself rules over everything, and doesn't let anyone, that anyone here or there would move something, even 1 millimeter, in any direction. Nature does not permit us to do so. It's the general force that holds and sustains everything. It's like there's these individual forces here that want to break out. No, nature doesn't let. They're all small parts, individual aspects of it. So is it be right to say that the corona is a conspiracy of nature itself towards us? Oh, that is closer to the truth. Explain, please. That nature wants to play with us such that we will solve this conundrum, where the corona comes from, why it comes to us, what it wants to do to us, how we need to overcome, how we can get rid of it. And then we begin, for the time being, we start to see that we are all under it. The first stage is that we take a stick and a stone, and start to battle against this virus. What do you mean? With a stick and stone? Yes, in the crudest possible way. Then we will start to see that we're not capable of dealing with it. That through all of our forces, with chemistry and physics and all kinds of things, microbiology there, no matter what, we won't be able to contend with the coronavirus. We can't. What will we be able to do? Probably there's another possibility here, not on the degree of that virus, but in a higher degree from it. What do you mean a higher degree from the virus? In a human degree, where we are on the same level like the upper force, the greater nature, the general nature. Whereas we will be able to awaken the general force, not physics and chemistry and all those things, you know, that we do in a laboratory, that we're awakening all kinds of acids this way or those this way, but rather we are rising to the degree of thought, to the degree of the desire, which is greater than the biological degree. On the biological degree, it's only the degree of animal. We are raising ourselves to the degree of the speaking. The speaking degree is called Adam. Adam, or human, or Adam is dome, similar or resembling the Creator. If we can reach that state from being opposite the Creator to being similar to the Creator, meaning to be Adam, then we will be able to calm down the whole system and this virus will disappear. It will calm down. It will enter into nature and do what it needs to do. After all of nature is in balance between plus and minus, harming and good doers. And through those two forces, we create a balance between them if we want to use both of them in the direction of proximity, coming closer to God. If we do that, everything will calm down. I want to make a summary, tell you what I understood, and tell me if I perceived what God said there, because it was very brilliant and deep. We started from the main conspirator, if we could say that it's not this person or another, but it's the general force, the general force in nature, which grabs all the rulers, all the rich, all the wise, all the sages, and has them all as components within him. So that's what we're dealing with, the general force of nature. He sent us this blow of corona, you said, so that we will manage to solve the conundrum, this riddle, you know, how it came, why it came, and how we can overcome it. And we learn this from the lowest degrees as we're concealing ourselves within our apartments and keeping away from each other and all that, until we digest that here there needs to be a different influence upon nature. Nice. Now you said to me that you can't beat this virus with sticks and stones, meaning it won't help us even if we manage to find some medicine or antivirus in some laboratory, and it will have a response on the biological level or another, a chemical or physical level. You're saying that is not the full response that's demanded of us, but just as nature with its thought challenges us and sent us this biological component, we too need the response in that opposite conspiracy on our behalf, and also on the level of the thought from our behalf, to stream it into the system. Did I understand? Correct. What's the essence of the change? As if we need to learn something here. Beyond learning how to develop a medicine, we need to learn something deeper. It's very simple. What do we need to learn? Because in all of nature, there is nothing harmful in other than men. Meaning? In the inanimate, in vegetative, in animal, all the parts, forces, particles, no matter how you call them, they are in a balanced system. But who comes out of that balance? The upper layer of them, which is called human beings. These human beings are bad. They have a bad desire, which is imbalanced with the good desire. This is the only thing in nature that's out of balance. How do you define a bad desire that man has? He thinks only of his own benefit and acts. The thought for the benefit of myself is something that harms the whole system. Yes, that's how we also relate to conspirators. That what do they want? They want to spin everything to make a combination that is for their benefit. So that's the disease, not of one ruler or another, or this rich man or another, but the general ailment of humankind and nature. What is it coming to teach us? that we need to change. To change in what direction exactly? To balance ourselves with a good attitude towards one another, so that good and bad will be balanced. And how does this virus generate this change in us? It's a metamorphosis of the nature of man. Correct. In a lower degree, from our desires, these viruses are operating. And they're acting for the good or for the bad, in accordance with, what are these viruses? They're biological particles that we act upon through our good or bad thoughts. Now this virus, like you want, a biological component, comes to teach us, not a lesson in biology if I'm thinking about it in depth, it's coming to teach us a lesson in human relationships? Is that what you're saying? You went like this, yes, what do you mean? The thought. To change our thought from a bad thought to a good thought? Now tell me, is this development from bad thoughts to good thoughts, is that something that we have to go through only through the bad people? Or the especially bad people? Those who have force and control and are exploiting humanity? Or is it a process that everyone, to one extent or another, has to go through? Who has to go through this change? Every single person needs to go through this change of all the humankind upon earth, of all the types, kinds, the great, different ages, it doesn't matter. Every single one. He said, no matter where. Every person has some kind of control, and we have to all go through this metamorphosis. Yes. Now I want to hear about this means. So there's the upper conspirator, we'll call it nature, who wants to develop us. Instead of bad to good. The means that he chose to implement this towards connection chose a biological microbe, a virus. It brought us a disease. It brought us an epidemic. Why did he choose such? We could have gone in a different way with other means. What kind? I don't know. Just like I don't want to give him ideas. He could have given us a world war. For what? And it can't be a world war because it's around Earth. This is also around Earth, but look in what a beautiful, nice, gentleman way in watching over everyone. It's just a little scary, and that's it. A little scary is... No, it's a little. What, people are in hysteria and panic all around the world? They're in panic around the world. How many less people died from car accidents and work accidents and all kinds of other things? People are sitting at home in silence. So when it comes to the percentage of fatalities, it's the healthiest period of time. Tell me, people going through these changes from bad thoughts of others to good thoughts, let's say several people go through this process, will they become protected from this virus? Will the virus not be able to attack them? Will they not be sick? Relatively. Why relatively? Because this has to happen to the whole world. This is a general blow. And therefore it won't help that one will be a righteous and the others wicked, and then he will be healthy and everyone else sick. It won't just pass like that. Because everyone's connected eventually? Yes. And everyone needs to develop? Yes. This is what it's written about in the Wisdom of Kabbalah. I have a question about this general force that you call nature. If it wants to develop us from bad relations between people to good ones, why doesn't he skip this step in the middle of the blow? I mean, he's nature. He can do everything. Why doesn't he do everything in good relations? Why is he doing all these blows to us with Corona? What about free will? What if you needing to be a human being, preferring this over that? Otherwise you'll be like an animal. You won't be a man. You'll be in the degree of an animal. Meaning there's something, despite all of its force, it can't do it? He doesn't want to do. What does he want to do? He doesn't want to make, he wants to make people of us, humans of us, that we will be those who know the difference between good and bad. That we're going to reach this development. What is it, what is in this altogether? That we understand what's good and bad. That we understand all that he's doing, like that virus, the biological particles alone. Make some order in the definitions. What do you mean? God in nature is the same thing. This is what's happening. Let's say we succeed in this development and the, what you're trying to teach, nature is trying to teach us, and then from awareness, from this free choice, we're going to choose to be better. How will our world appear? Our world will appear as filled with people, let's say 8 billion people, and they all, to a certain extent, understand that they're in an integral system, meaning connected to everyone. And in this integral system where he's connected to everyone, he understands all that's happening, feels all that's happening, and understands what it's doing with all of humanity. He's willing to be a representative of all of humanity towards everyone, where he truly includes them and cares for them and binds them with the Creator. And that's how it is with each and every one of us. How do we define the Creator here in this? The general upper force that includes it all. What's the nature of this force? What's its qualities? Only the good that does good. A force that does good, that only does good, is absolute good? Yes. Now, this is the place that we have to come to in the end of this formatting of ours, yes? How do we need to prepare for this as far as psychologically, economically, community-wise, global-wise? What kind of preparations do we need to do now in order to be suitable, adapted to this final station? To try to be connected between us in such a manner that is like one man in one heart. What does that mean? It's a verse from the Bible. What does it mean in simplicity? That we only have one heart, all of us. What does that depend upon? That we will have one heart and one man. It's very beautiful that. What does it depend upon? That each of us feels everyone and wants to their benefit. What else if it's one heart? One heart. Now, after we talked about beautiful things, we'll go back to other things. We started with the conspiracies. I asked you if you believe that there's a, such conspirators in the world, rulers, rich, etc., that want to screw us all and bring them to their own benefit. He said, leave that. We have a much greater force than everyone. Nature, the great conspirator, the upper conspirator, who's leading us to a process of development. On that more advanced state where he said everyone's like one heart, will anyone have the desire to do something, with, to make something that will kind of screw everyone and bring them in that way? On the contrary, he will want to use all his forces just for the benefit of others. And to truly be diluted within them and to become a zero relative to them. Why? Today a person who's a conspirator, it's clear where he's going. He's about to suckle from everyone for his own benefit, for his good. And that's how it will be, opposite. How will it be in this opposite world? It's like we're advancing to an opposite world, actually. Yes? So what assures us in the opposite world that no one wants to exploit everyone to his own benefit? In one conspiracy or another, because you will see that the world is round, and by being similar to the Creator and accordingly caring for others, what do you mean? What is the Creator caring for? What does that mean? To this upper force of nature that love and bestow that will rule over all the people. then it will not want more than that. There's no more than that to want. Why isn't there anything else to want? Because by this he takes the whole humankind and raises them to the Creator. And what does that give that person who's the conspirator today for the sake of this matter? He causes it. The prophets that lead people to benefit off of others, whether it's a small way or a big way, it's personal. Let's say to get rich. Let's say to rule, to control. What profits does a person then get if he brings everyone closer to connection, to good contact, to love? What will he get from that? He will do good in the eyes of God and man. And what will that give him? Nothing, and that's the greatest profit. Why is that a profit? Because by that, he equalizes himself with God. Man can be like God, Rav Eichmann? Yes, yes, yes. And return the people of Israel until the God. I think the great conspirators to such a place aspire to be God. I am God, everyone, only in the way that they think that God is. And what do you think about that? What is truly to be like God? A force of bestowal in love only. From who to who does this force pass? From myself or from the upper force of nature and to all of humanity? Meaning, the highest possible stature a person can bring to himself is that from him spreads the force of love and good to everyone. Is that what you said? Yes. That's the next level of our evolution as people to which the Quran is aiming us? Yes. Last question. This upper conspirator, nature, why does he need that whole spin? What does he want from behind all of these plants? What does he want at the bottom line? What does he want? He wants to see us adhere to him. To him? Do? Exactly. What's to him? According to the equivalence with him, meaning to the extent in which he's in love and bestowal, we too will be in love and bestowal towards one another, and all of us together towards him. In this whole process, do you see something very positive according to the way you're saying these things? There is nothing bad in nature, only that which we cause. How can you give me something from your optimism? What should I think of? What should I direct myself to? What should I focus on in this whole craze that this corona brought us for? So this corona you should kiss. Why? Why should I kiss it? Because it's leading us to the good. It's bringing us to a good. It's bringing us a remedy, a healing, not a disease. It itself is a medicine. We don't feel it on this level, but it needs to care for us in our essence, in our intellect and feeling and the relations between us. Amen and amen. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you too for being with us. A new life, living to live good. All the best. So long.